Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I'm talking with Dr. Des Cummings. He's the president of Florida Hospital Foundation and the executive vice president of Florida Hospital. That's based in Orlando, Florida. Dr. Cummings, welcome to Life Quest.
Thank you very much, Dwight. It's good to be a part of your program.
I enjoyed reading the book. I just found it practical, interesting, and challenging. But it is called 8 Secrets of a Healthy 100, What You Can Learn from the All-Stars of Longevity. Now, what does Healthy 100 mean? Where did you get that title?
Well, basically, I got that title from the fact that there was a research done on the baby boomers, and the question that was asked is, how long would you like to live?
Mm-hmm.
And the response that came back most common was 92. That was the average response. When the follow-up question went into, so why 92? And
yeah,
most people said, because after 92, you won't have a quality of life, you'll be in a nursing home, and that's not the way I want to live.
Mm-hmm.
They turned around and said, well, now, if you could have quality of life, what would your goal be? And they said 100. So 100 came to be sort of a universal magical number. It's something like breaking the age barrier.
Yeah.
We've broken the sound barrier. We've broken the space barrier. It's now time to break the age barrier and live to a healthy 100.
I guess the question that many of our listeners might have is, can we really do things to make a difference in longevity?
You know, it's very interesting. The MacArthur study pointed out that 75% of the effect that on longevity is your choice. Only 25% is determined by your genes. And this was kind of a breakthrough study that turned the tide of the whole idea, well, choice really doesn't make that much difference.
Mm-hmm.
You're programmed either for longevity or you're programmed for early demise or some sort of disease and some kind of vulnerability. But in fact, this turned the minds of people around. And more recently, that number has actually gone up, that it's more like 80%. And Dan Buettner, in his book, The Blue Zones, suggests that it's 90%.
You refer to this blue zone thing, and I believe I saw something in National Geographic about that. What was that about? This was about people who lived in various parts of the world that are living longer.
Yeah, exactly. So National Geographic commissioned Dan Buettner to go around the world and find the longest living populations and be able to do a special edition. And he did so in November of 2005. And he found people who had the greatest potential to live the longest, and he found three groups of people, the Sardinians in Italy, the Okinawans in Japan,
mm-hmm.
and the Adventists. And he located and focused on Adventists in the area of Loma Linda, California, which was one of the higher concentrations of Adventists.
And he found some commonalities.
Absolutely. He found that there were significant commonalities across those, and then there were some unique contributions by each one. But the significant factors of health that seemed to span the generations had to do with plant-based diet, had to do with exercise, and had to do with really a search for meaning and finding a significant purpose for life. These were key.
Are these new ideas?
You know, they're not. From my perspective, they're those ideas are as ancient as the earth. Actually can be traced, all of these things, back to the story in Genesis of the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, in that story, in the 7 days of creation, there are 8 principles of health that have really driven the development of the Adventist health system. And those 8 principles have been taught to this group of Adventists, and they have distinguished themselves. In the words of Buettner, he calls them the all-stars of longevity.
Mm-hmm.
The only people in a developed country who have the greatest potential to live to 100.
In the book, you come up with these 8 secrets. So I think we got to hit these. And what are they?
Okay, the 8 secrets, it's very easy to remember. They are the 8 secrets of health that come from the 7 days of creation,
uh-huh.
and they spell the word creation.
Oh, okay.
So they're an acronym. So if you think of those, the first is the letter C for choice. So just as we were speaking, choice by choice, you write your health destiny. Certainly you have a genetic sort of hand of cards that you are dealt to play,
mm-hmm.
but your decisions determine whether you accelerate disease or whether you will decelerate the occurrence of disease in your life. These decisions that you make day by day are the focal point of the empowerment of this book. So it really says to you, you know, it's your choice that can make the difference. Don't let anybody disempower you by telling you you have the fat gene or you have a propensity towards this disease or that disease. It runs in your family, and you're going to be destined to have to experience a lot of illness in your life and an early demise. Not so. I have story after story in the book that shares people who have overcome disease and are living in a wonderful state of wellness well into their 90s and beyond.
And we somehow are willing to buy into these kind of negative things, all the reasons why it can't happen to me.
Well, I think a lot of times in our efforts to shelter ourselves from the demands of reality and not having to actually take total responsibility for the fact that we're not in our best health, we use some of these excuses. But in fact, those excuses are really just that. They can be set aside by definite choices. And I start out with a story of a gentleman named John who was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis at age 6 and given basically a death sentence, not to live past 12.
Mm-hmm.
He today is 54 years old. He is the president of one of our hospitals. And every time I see Johnny, when I interviewed him, his first comment to me was, "Let's celebrate life." And he has an incredible attitude, a positive attitude, and he makes choices that are probably harder than most of us have to make in our lives on a daily basis.
And he's not supposed to be living this long.
No. In fact, I asked him, I said, "John, are you the longest living cystic fibrosis sufferer?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I don't want to know."
Yeah.
He said, "Some people have suggested I might be. I never did the research," he said, "simply because I don't want to know." He said, "because that will limit my perspective, and I will start to allow that fact to dominate my thinking and take away my choices."
Choice is the first secret on the acronym there, but the next is rest. What does that mean?
Well, rest is probably the most unique aspect that's being emphasized by another number of people today. But in the Garden of Eden, there were 6 days of creation and wonderful explosive activity, and then God, when he finished everything, took the day off to be with his children. And I like to think of it this way. In the first 6 days, God created life, and on the seventh day, God created love. And what he did is he took time just to stop and rest and absorb the essence of living. So the essence of life is love. And it was interesting that Dan Buettner, when he actually profiled the secrets of the Adventist community for longevity, started with this one thing, that you need to have a sanctuary in time. That in a rapid-paced world, you've got to have rhythm in your life, and the rhythm of creation is 6 days of work, 1 day of rest.
And this is more than just a cessation from activity. It's more than just physical rest.
Absolutely. So it doesn't mean simply I'm going to stop doing everything and step into boredom or total inactivity. It means I am going to take time to build the relationships with the people I love and the God who centers me in life. And that time is the most important time of our lives. And we tend to let it be marginalized unless we take a day just to do that. So worship, family, service, those kinds of things are exactly what he intended, plus time with him in nature.
And this is all kind of linked with some sort of thing called stress, isn't it?
The stress factor in our society is increasingly being identified as one of the key issues that all of us face. And it manifests itself not only physically, but it manifests itself mentally. The number one chronic disease of Americans today is depression.
Mm-hmm.
Depression is often a byproduct of stress in various parts of your life. And having a day to center yourself with God, with people, and recapture love is the day that you recapture the meaning to live, or reason to live, and the meaning of life.
Another one of the secrets, you say, is environment. We hear a lot about environment and ecology and all that stuff. What do you mean by the environment?
So environment is the third letter in the acronym, C, choice, R, rest, E, environment. Environment, I mean largely from the standpoint of being able to shape the world in which you live environmentally so that it renews you mentally, physically, and spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And I was drawn to a marvelous book by a gentleman named Richard Louvre, who writes a book called The Last Child in the Woods. And he has set out to create a program to get children back out into nature. And he basically shows the increase in childhood obesity, the increase in depression, autism, ADHD. All of those things come into our society because as we moved into cities, we take a lot of the green space away. And so what you find is that as you take these children and move them back out into a natural environment, it does something to simply put a sense of peace into their lives, and it opens them to a joy of learning. And actually, they found the autistic children had 30% fewer symptoms when put into a natural environment. Children who were learning science had 27% improvement in their test scores. This is just the impact of the environment around you.
The next one, A, in your acronym here, activity, all of us are pretty active in doing stuff. What do you mean by activity?
Well, you know, activity is, in this sense, means mentally, physically, and spiritually.
Okay.
Now, a lot of us are mentally active, or at least our mind is filled with all kinds of things that are rushing at us. Spiritual activity is key to your life as well. And physical activity is often the focus that we have in this area of activity. Because of the lack of activity in our society, we have had this rapid increase in obesity. And so what we're trying to do is get people simply back into activity. Even the First Lady has started a program, Let's Move.
Uh-huh.
And it is because we know the benefits of activity. The benefit to your mind, it will definitely improve the mental function because activity is key to your heart health, and heart is key to the health of your entire being. And so the only thing that we add here that's very important is we teach people also how to create spiritual activities that bring their life up to a new level of fitness mentally and spiritually.
I was surprised to see the next item, which is T, or trust. Why is trust involved here?
Well, you know, the basic fundamental of a relationship in the Garden of Eden as God designed it was the choice between following him or eating from the tree of life,
mm-hmm.
or choosing to go towards the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And this, the basis of this decision is trust. And it's fundamental to all of your relationships to be able to experience trust. But first of all, finding a purpose and a trust in God, finding a faith, is critical to your ability to experience longevity and health. This was found by Dan Buettner and affirmed by him in the book The Blue Zones when he said, it is the practice of faith, coming together with others of like-minded faith to share a purpose in life that causes people to have a reason to live and pursue health into their aging years.
Interpersonal. Love is only realized in relationship. What kind of relationships are you talking about?
One of the key factors we found is that there's a wonderful book called Vital Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And Vital Friends points out that your health is directly linked to your relationships. In that book, it shows that if you have five friends who are active, you're 100% more likely to be active than a person who doesn't have those active friends around them. If your best friend eats healthy, you're three times more likely to eat healthy. So you are made for relationships. You are made for love. Humans are designed with that need in mind. Study after study shows that as people go into their aging years as seniors, as they shrink their number of friends, they become more vulnerable to disease. You need to have 5 to 7 friends that you have around you so that you can be able to have a great, robust friendship life, and it is in that context of friends that life changes. Dean Ornish said that if he had any one thing to give people, it would be love. For love is the key to health, and it is more important than diet, and it's more important than high cholesterol. Mm-hmm. To experience love is to do great things for your health.
Des, it seems that we also need to be proactive in that, don't we, in reaching out to people?
Absolutely. You know, the ability to receive love is balanced by and usually fueled by the ability to give love. It is a reciprocal back and forth rhythm between mm-hmm. receiving and giving love, just as your heart beats in rhythm. So your whole being is designed to be giving love to others, receiving love back. And it's that interpersonal relationships that you are designed to be connected. And when you're connected, you're more vital.
Many of us have a lot of acquaintances, but that's not the same thing, isn't it?
No, it's one of the biggest problems we face in our society is described by one of the professors at MIT in a book titled Alone Together. That really tells you that basically, we have these massive people, but because of technology and texting, we're not connected very deeply with any one person, mm-hmm. or very many of them at any one time. And yet, if you were to boil down the meaningful times of your life, they would be the times with your family and friends, the times when you gave love to others that was significantly meaningful to them and left a stamp of eternity on your own memory.
Number 7 of your 8 Secrets of Healthy 100 is called Outlook, Pursuing the Positive Power of Optimism and Hope. Not all of us were born that way. In fact, some people seem to have been born sideways and never got straightened out. But how do we get this optimism and hope?
Well, it's true that not everyone was born with an optimistic perspective or temperament. But there is a wonderful possibility of called learned optimism. Learning optimism is the ability to choose to see that which to interpret life and see life through the lens of hope. And as you choose to see life through the lens of hope, you can bring optimism into your own spirit. And it's very, very impactful in one simple illustration. When a person hits a problem in life, if they have a positive outlook, their tendency is to say about that problem, oh, this is a problem in my life. I'm going to have to face it, but then I'll be done with it and on back to a more hopeful future.
Mm-hmm.
The pessimistic person says, this is a problem in my life. This is because this is my way life works out for me every time. It seems to no matter how I work, no matter how hard I work at it, I always end up with the short end of the stick. And that's just the way life's going to work for me.
Right.
On the one side, the problem is temporary, and you're going to find your way through it. On the other side, the problem is a symbolic of a continuing difficulties, and you're never going to get out of it.
The last of the 8 secrets of a healthy 100, which finishes the acronym of creation, is nutrition, which for some people is like the first one, but it's more than just feeding the body, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, one of the reasons that nutrition is, you know, I think in the right spot in the order is because nutrition is where we usually often start on health. We start with saying, okay, eat right and so forth. Nutrition is a tremendously important thing as it relates to your body, but there's also physical, and there's not only physical nutrition, there's mental and spiritual nutrition. And I believe it's what you take into your mind. If we were able to give a nutritional count to the things that we absorb mentally, mm-hmm. I can tell you that it will shape your own outlook and your attitude, because a lot of times we are watching things that take us down in our attitude. And one of the things we found in the outlook area is that if a person learns to speak positively about things, and they learn to have a habit of looking for the positive in others, they can actually lift their health and change their perspective. So that's a mental nutrition, so to speak. But we didn't want to just limit it to physical nutrition. However, physical is absolutely important, and in many respects, It fuels your body, empowers your mind, and enables your spirit. So we wanted to ensure that the eighth principle was just as important and given just the same attention, but it was put in the right order.
I'm thinking about this whole thing, and it's really a program. It's not just a book. It's a program for a community. It's a program for individuals. Florida hospitals, the whole system seems to be, from what I'm reading here, not just concerned with getting really sick people well, but in preventing illness and promoting a big, good lifestyle.
Absolutely. We believe that God touched the earth twice. And the first time he came, he created it, and he gave the model for health in the Garden of Eden. When that model was lost through sin, and then sin and suffering came in, and death and disease, he came back with the plan of redemption, and the model was the healing ministry of Christ. That basically we want to bring together for our society and the people we serve an opportunity to have both the best of health and the best of healing. That we want to be able to inspire them to health so that they will want to live to a healthy 100. And if we don't do that, we will never solve the health question in our society. We know the debate currently is all not only in the U.S. but around the world, the need for health reform. But a lot of people are talking just in terms of dollars and saying, why is it costing us so much? The reason is we do not live healthy. And until we create a healthy culture and we move away from a diseased culture, we will never be able to solve the cost of health care, because the only thing we can do in a diseased culture is ration health care and limit it. In a healthy culture, the individuals need it less, and therefore we can provide it in a way that's cost-effective.
The book is 8 Secrets of a Healthy 100, What You Can Learn from the All-Stars of Longevity. It's by Des Cummings, Jr. Des, where can people get a copy of this book?
Well, you can actually go on the Internet, and it's very available on a number of sites, including Amazon. And we have had a marvelous response, because this is not an idea that is simply a theory. Mm-hmm. It is designed by God, and it actually has scientific proof behind these principles. If you live these 8 principles, your average life expectancy will move from 78 for the average American to 89. People who live these 8 principles get 11 years advantage in life, and 89 is all on your way to a healthy 100. So he said, healthy 100, why do we choose that? Because the people who live these principles produce more individuals who are centenarians in America and achieve 100 years of health than any other lifestyle around the world.
And I need to say to our listeners that Des Cummings has made available a number of copies of this book to our listeners of LifeQuest. And at the end of this program, you'll find how that you may be able to get a free copy also. Dr. Cummings, thank you so much for being on LifeQuest.
Dwight, it was a pleasure, and look forward to a healthy 100, and wish you a healthy 100, and Godspeed.
I have a number of copies of this book for you. I'll send a free copy to the first of you who email me for the book 8 Secrets. Be sure and let me know your name and address and to what station you're listening. Email me at lifequest@lifetalk.net. That's lifequest@lifetalk.net. Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net or write to LifeQuest at P.O. Box 33082, Knoxville, Tennessee 37930. I'm Dwight Lainhoff.